It's Tuesday, June 19th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone, got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? How's your Monday? How is your day back to work? I know that it was an extremely busy one for me. I'm looking forward to it slowing down a little bit this week. But I tell you, it's been kind of an interesting evening here already, getting ready to do the show. We're getting started at 9:23 tonight. I was all ready to kick off at about 8:30. And my 10-year-old, soon to be 11, came in and caught me a little bit of an attitude. And so we've had to have a little bit of a discussion. you know how it all, you know, parenting, there's new challenges every day, that's for sure. And it's all good. But yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, man, kids sometimes they just take a right-hand turn. And, boy, you're into it for the next hour. So it was one of those evenings. But, hey, I'm glad you're all here. And, of course, I want to thank all of you, the long-term subscribers of the show. Thanks for being part of the family. And we had a considerable number of you sign up for the newsletter over the last couple of days. So what we're going to be doing tonight is the way the winners are going to be announced is they're going to be announced within the newsletter. So the two commemorative coins that I have that are going to be coming to two winners tonight will be announced via the newsletter announcement. And sometime in the show tonight, I'm going to announce another way to win on our summer giveaway. And I did get an email back from our flag winner on the last show, and he is providing me an address. Now I just got to get the certificate printed up and the flag shipped out to him. So he'll have that in his hands here. I'm hoping to have it to him so he can fly it for the 4th of July. But, yeah, that's the goal, is to get it to him by then. And, of course, we've got 2 weeks for that, so it should not be an issue. But we're about 11 days away from the launch of the 2007 People's Choice Podcast Awards over at podcastawards.com. And looking forward to that event kicking off. I've got my web developer getting the backup site ready as well. So if everything goes right, we'll be ready to, we're going to be ready one way or the other to open up the site for nominations on July 1st. Now, with that being said, there is now banners available within the website itself. So if you go over to podcastawards.com and click on site graphics, you'll be able to put a site graphic button on your website. Those of you that are podcasters and those shows that drive the most traffic to the Podcast Awards website will win some 120 by 120 graphic placements on the left-hand column of the website. So we look forward to giving away some free advertising to some sites. Plus, of course, everyone has a chance to be nominated this year. We're expanding our, essentially, the rules are being opened up a little bit. We're going to have a bigger slate of shows. So we're looking forward to bringing that to everyone. It's going to be very, very busy during the nomination review time. And, of course, the voting time is usually pretty crazy. But we look forward to opening up everything to everyone on July 1st. Now, a couple things I was made aware of over the weekend was that a new edition of Skype has been released. And if you're a Skype user, you'll definitely want to go over and get that downloaded. It's a significant number of changes. Some I'm happy with, some I'm not. I'm beginning to be concerned that Skype is going to start becoming kind of a bloatware you know, desktop application. It's already taken up a pretty good memory footprint. We'll have to see how that grows over time. Now, this past Saturday, we loaded the kids up, and we went to an area that generally is used for beginners to learn how to surf, and took the kids over there, and they got some surf time in. Had a whole team of people that were helping out and safety observers and everything. It was pretty heavy currents, so I had a couple of guys in the water with kayaks that were actually towing the surfers back to the wave entry area, just because the, you know, these new surfers, and you're trying to, if I'm telling you, you want to work out, you lay on a surfboard and you paddle surfboard style, you know, it's you will come out with very, very sore shoulders. But got everybody up on the surfboard on Saturday, had fun with that. Of course, Sunday was Father's Day. And the Sunday morning, I didn't know if the kids remembered it was Father's Day or not. I was the one doing the cooking. But that's okay. They had some stuff stashed away and brought it out. And it was a very, each kid had picked out a little thing. And they know I've got a weakness for a certain type of candy. And they'd got me that. And my wife had got me some flowers and some macadamia nuts. It was just real, you know, kind of a nice, easy Father's Day. Was nice. We had, in the afternoon, we had a traditional Japanese meal with sushi and sashimi and miso soup, and it was really, really good. So my 17-year-old, she has not had the full Japanese food culture experience, but she did real well with all the food, and it was good, so I was happy with that. And actually, Sunday afternoon, when everything kind of calmed down, I actually got a little work done. And one thing I've been watching is that since my 17-year-old's been here, I've been watching, you know, what she does online, asking her what site she's using. And Photo Bucket is a big one she's using, and she's using MySpace, of course, a lot. And Dad's a little more lenient when it comes to being on the computer. And it was basically said, hey, you can use the computer up here in the office. And it kind of gives me an opportunity, too, to at the same time kind of look at some of her surfing habits. And we've talked about some of that stuff. And seems like she's got a pretty good head on her shoulders when it comes to being online. And we've talked, I actually was kind of asking her some questions about, had she been essentially propositioned online, or what, you know, kind of what had happened. And she said she'd had more trouble with young teenage boys than she'd had with anybody she thought maybe an adult. And she says, you know, the minute they start talking stupid, she says, I block them. And so we talked about that a little bit. But she doesn't get on as much when she's at home. I don't think her mom lets her online as much. She's not as computer savvy as she needs to be. And being 17, I was talking to her, so are you doing schoolwork with your computer? And she doesn't have an actual laptop at home, so we may have to remedy that before she goes back. And those of you that are Mac users, you'll be happy. She wants a Mac. So we'll have to see what we can do here and find her something. Well, she knows she's going to be going off to college in about a year. So, you know, here's, you know, I don't know what exactly to get her. You got any kids in college right now? What are you guys sending your kids to college with as far as laptops go? Are you sending them with a small size Mac? Are you sending them with a MacBook Pro? Or what are you sending them to college with? I'd be real interested to hear that. And what software are you loading out on them? Of course, you probably have to have, I don't know, are you sending them with OpenOffice, or are you putting Microsoft Word on the machines? That's a good question to ask, I guess. What are they going to need to head off to college? I know what I use, but I use a PC. But what are you that are having kids go off to school using Macs doing? All right, what else have I got here for you? Oh, I got a couple of things that I had linked up in the actual Geek News Central website, and not on Feed Demon. But let me take care of a little business here before we get into that. Domain names from GoDaddy.com are up to 70% less than the competition. Plus, each domain includes free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and much, much more. So, You get over to GoDaddy, enter the code TODD when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Make sure you check out the code GEEK5 for 15% off orders of $20 or more, or POD58 for hosting accounts. All right, I got a couple of things. Speaking of Natalie, she just walked into the office. What are you going to do? You going to get on MySpace? She's shaking her head, yes. I was just telling everybody that's what you've been primarily doing is fixing up your friend's sites and doing other stuff. Yeah. So I'm calling her, I call her the MySpace girl here at the house. So, okay, what else have I got for you here? Let me get into the actual, let me bring this up. I want to thank everyone that was part of Tech Podcast, Blueberry.com. Podcaster News for submitting those sites over at mahalo.com. I basically went over there and put in the initial entries and then encouraged everyone else to go ahead and submit us if they thought we were worthy. And if you have a site that you think is, if you think our podcasting sites are good, go over to mahalo.com, enter the keyword podcast. And then you're going to see, if you have an account over there, you're going to see a place on the page that says to submit a link, recommend a link. And you can put in, if you want, put in Geek News Central, put in Blueberry, put in Raw Voice, any of our, we'd be much appreciative if you do that. And like I said, we're already up and listed on some. And we want to thank the community for going out and making their submissions over there. Haven't got any feedback from Jason Calacanis yet on Mahalo on my last comment. What do you want to do? You want to use this one? Go ahead. Which is dead? Oh, the battery. Oh, for that mouse. Yeah. Just take unhook it from power and go ahead and take it. She's coming over and grabbing the MacBook Pro. Yeah, both of those can come unhooked. Okay. Anyway, thank you everybody for that. Also got a link up here that came from a listener sending me an eWeek article talking about a Trojan attack that's going on right now that's claiming approximately 10,000 websites. Says that researchers at Trend Micro are reporting that as many as 10,000 websites have been infected with a malicious code that redirects unsuspecting users to a server booby-trapped with drive-by exploits. And, of course, those are targeted at mostly people that are using Internet Explorer, and they're exploiting some codes that are going on browsers that are unpatched, along with Windows-based systems that haven't been updated. And I know if you're listening to this show, you all have your Windows-based PCs set up to automatically update. And, matter of fact, I believe last Tuesday we got a whole slew of updates. That was a week ago. And so you should have had notice that there was a reboot in the middle of the night or was asking you to reboot when you were actually on the machine. Okay, I think that was all I had on the actual website. Did I have anything over at geeknewscentral.com? I don't think I did for you tonight. Now, there is a great series of articles. Robert Scoble, John Udell, and Dave Weiner weighed in on social networks, and there's some great takeaways in the three posts that are written by each individual respectively, and that link is up at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, I encourage you to go over there and check that out and check out what they've had to say about some, what's going on within the social network space. Of course, sign up for the newsletter, of course, and you can always find all the archive podcasts over there as well. Seen some great reaction recently. Our traffic over at techpodcast.com is way, way up. It is actually quite remarkable, the amount of traffic that's coming into that specific website. We're really happy with the growth rate over there. It's really doing good along with that. And I think a lot of that has to be attributed to some of the content that we're creating over there, a lot of the people that are actually associated with the website as well, along with our monthly live interactive sessions that we have utilizing GoToMeeting. So these days, whether you're in business or simply want to just share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates family and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business or even individuals. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, what have I got lined up for you here in Feed Demon? I did get quite a bit of audio commentary, too, came in. I think we got 4 voicemails and emails. I actually got an audio submission. Let me see if I can. I'm going to have to find that. And I have to admit, I haven't listened to it yet. And I think it's a jingle that someone has put together for me. I've just been too doggone busy over the last 48 hours or so. But the first article I've got up here is one that has to do with the MPAA, RIAA. And here's a kicker. You know, they've got all kinds of money they're spending on lobbyists and everything else. Well, they are going to form a new organization, and it's called the Copyright Alliance. You know, this is funny. And apparently they just didn't have enough. So they formed another organization called the Coalition Against Counterfeiting and Piracy. And that one's being headed up by the RIAA and MPAA. And there's one that's been that's being supported by the National Association of Manufacturers and Pharmaceutical Companies. So it just goes on and on. It just goes to show you that they're throwing all kinds of money at lobbyists. They're going to be going in and, for a better word, buttering up all these congressional representatives, donating to their campaigns, going to their luncheons and fundraisers, and you know how this stuff works. Have you ever donated to a political party or an individual? If you have, you will know that immediately following doing that, you get on all kinds of mailing lists. And you get invited to donate to this. You get invited to donate to that. They want your money. They really, really do. Where these particular groups, they go in and support the congressional delegates in different ways. And, you know, there's all kinds of little rules, but there's lots of soft money that flies around. And, you know, sadly, there's really no big arm. In other words, not a big strong arm. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has a lobbyist group, I believe, now, or at least one individual in D.C. But we're getting outgunned. You know, these folks are going to do whatever they have to do, and because the record industry is scared. You know, they want laws put in place that are going to really change things. And this leads right into the next article talking about how NBC wants the FCC to force ISPs to police their networks for copyright infringement. So NBC, and this is just, you know, here we go. The ball's rolling. AT&T said, oh, yeah, we have no problem spying on our customers. We are going to do that. We're going to report on who's being naughty and who's being nice, and we're going to make sure our customers get sued for downloading a 30-minute clip of The Simpsons or a 30-minute clip of Lost or, you know, whatever they may be downloading. We're going to report them for doing that because that's a copyright infringement. Well, NBC Universal is joining the bandwagon here and has filed a comment with the FCC saying ISPs should be forced to police their networks for copyrighted content that's being illegally shared. They're saying that they're using national statistics here and saying that 60 to 70% of all internet traffic is made up peer-to-peer. And so they want the ISPs to do this because they're saying that the U.S. law enforcement resources are seriously misaligned and not able to undertake this type of, enforcement. And they're saying that this intellectual property crime is costing them, check this out, hundreds of billions. They using the word hundreds of billions. Now, they're saying here again that there's more stuff that's going on too with child porn and, He says if that was, you know, if the child porn on the internet was going as high as what's going on with peer-to-peer, the government would take action. Well, I honestly believe that the government is taking action on this type of disgusting material that's being shared by individuals that need to be locked up, and I'm referring to child porn. But at the same point, you know, it's a pretty sad when they relate to or hold people that are doing peer-to-peer in the same regard as they do those that are peddling in this most disgusting material on the planet. You know, so they, you know, they're equating those two people to the same types. So with AT&T taking this step willingly and willing to rub up against the Hollywood, this is not surprising that the NBC has done this. Now, here's the kicker on this. You know, AT&T with the iPhone and their agreement with Apple, you know, they're probably going to be using more bandwidth. So they need to get some of this bandwidth recovered from those that are out there doing peer-to-peer to support the iPhone. And I am almost positive that some of this, and it's been some correlation has been made, that this decision by AT&T is somehow related back to the deal with Apple. Now, here's something. We're going to talk a little bit more about AT&T. Let me take a shot of iced tea here. Actually, it's not iced tea. It's warm tea. Ice is gone in it because I had a glass ready an hour ago. All right. Remember when AT&T was trying to buy Bell South and how they were working on the net neutrality clause and how they said they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't abuse net neutrality and they made all these offers and gestures? Well, at the end of December, AT&T proposed a bunch of concessions to the FCC in order to get approval of the merger. And while there was some protest on this, few people noticed a few print that contained a few surprising nuggets. And after these concessions were done, the FCC literally within a few hours approved the merger. But one of those concessions was, now this is important here, folks. One of the concessions was that within 6 months of the merger, the company would offer customers in certain build-out areas, and this is, I don't know the exact areas, they would offer 768K downstream DSL for $10 a month. And the offer would last for at least 30 months and be offered for new customers. Now, last Friday, they announced new DSL plans that arbitrarily said that you needed a phone line as well. And what happened was it seemed odd. So one of the guys over at Broadband Reports went around and essentially, and this is, I'm paraphrasing here off Tech Dirt. So a lot of this is in the same article. So I do want to preface this, but he found the link to the $10 a month DSL plan. Now, while I am not advocating anyone go over to AT&T and get their DSL service, $10 a month for 768K down and 256 up might make for a good secondary service for a teenager in your house if you want to get them off your broadband. And if you can have that for 30 months, 2.5 years at $10 a month, you know, they're going to lose money on that. I think everyone should sign up for an account where they're going to lose money. You know, this is, enact some punishment on them. Even though you're giving them money, you just use that as much as, download podcasts with it. Subscribe on purpose. Subscribe to 1,000 podcasts, have them downloaded into a directory, and then delete it. It's legal stuff that's supposed to be downloaded, but, you know, gosh, I'm terrible, aren't I? But anyway, that's I'll have that link up in the show notes. All right, if you live in Italy or Switzerland, scientists there recently did a study in which they traced illegal substances that were being discharged through the city's sanitation system. And there was a pretty amazing study that came out on what they found within the sewage system. every specific day of the week and what was peaked and when. And so they actually were able to determine what the drug use was in specific cities during the time that they were doing this testing in Italy and Switzerland. So while it's not tech related, it is kind of interesting on the test results, and I'll let you all go through and read that on your own. Okay, Wired is reporting that appeals court said that the feds still need a search warrant to search email. That's good. And the appeals court on Monday issued a landmark decision that holds that email has similar constitutional piracy protections as telephone communications, meaning that federal investigators who search and seize emails without obtaining probable cause will now have to do so. This is great. This is great news for all of us in protecting our privacy. And again, I think it's good when, the Constitution is enforced and that the Bill of Rights are enforced specifically. And when it comes down to search and seizure, I think it's, and this is something that we all need to do from time to time. You know, we've been talking about, what our rights are and privacy rights. You know, if you haven't pulled out the good old Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and the amendments that are, all of the different amendments, then I think it's something that needs to be reviewed by all of us from time to time. And, understand what this country is about, at least those of us that live here in the United States, so that, when I'm sitting here spouting off about fair use and privacy rights and all that other stuff, that we understand what the Constitution has been afforded by us. Not only, we can expect, that companies may not abide by all these rules or abide by all the amendments, but, this is an outstanding upholding of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. So anyway, I will I'll link this up, and the EFF was involved with this case as well. So good news on our side on that one there. Okay, they got a lot of stuff going on at the International Space Station. The shuttle is due to undock from the International Space Station after 4 successful spacewalks, retraction of the old solar cells, the deployment of the, I believe, S3, S4 truss. The Russians got their act together and got their computers up. I guess they had an electrical power switch or something that was breaking, and I heard that they put a shunt in it. Whenever I hear the word shunt used when it comes to electronics, it makes me cringe a little bit. It just makes me wonder if they have good thermal protection up there, because what happens is just like, you've got a circuit breaker in your house. If your circuit breaker's popping all the time, you don't go down to your circuit breaker panel in the basement or wherever it's at in your house, and you pull the breaker out and screw in a steel shunt. if you've ever done that, I would advise you immediately to call an electrician. Because, you're lucky to still have a house standing, or at least electrical cables that still work. And the spacewalkers were able to repair the shuttle, retract the solar panel. What else were they able to do? The cosmonauts got the some of the International Space Station computers working. The Russians are talking about sending a a spacecraft a couple of weeks early to have spare parts sent up to the station. So the Russians are being very proactive on their part to maintain the safety of the station. And but there was, a whole bunch of action going on here. So I have 3 or 4 links for you on all the stuff that was going on at the ISS. I normally follow these missions almost 24/7. I usually have the audio feed up. But boy, after the launch and maybe the first day on station, I really wasn't following it that close. And I feel pretty bad about not being able to listen in as much as I wanted to. All right, how many of you have got little kids that are using the computer at home, and you want to give them a browser that it's going to work real good? Well, there's a new Firefox family-friendly plugin called Glubble, G-L-U-B-B-L-E, and it's in beta. It's a family experience, and this is a pretty cool browser. It's a internet kid-friendly, child-proof browser, and it's a Google Firefox plugin that allows parents to control a white list of which domains the kids can visit. And it's seeded with about 350 approved properties for domains like Disney, Nickelodeon, and so forth. Parents can add new domains or individual links. And this is pretty cool here. And it brings up a real cute interface so that the kids will like to use it. And, you know, this only goes so far. You know, I'm sure if I put this on the PC and made Natalie, if I made you use this, you'd probably shoot me. But it has like Nick Jr., Wubbly, Lazy Town, Diego, Max and Ruby. So those type of sites that the kids really like. And it allows you to search Yahoo and Google at the same time. And kind of a cute little browser. So, and it doesn't have a lot of stuff on there to make them confused as well. So I have the link up to that plugin that you can use for Firefox for your kids. Those of you that have websites out there, you may want to check out I think we've talked about this company before, and I'm not 100% I'm not really 100% behind what they do here, but it's called Crazy Egg, and what it does is it's got a plug-in, I guess, or something that you put into the system called Confetti. I think that's what it is. It has a new feature called Confetti that allows you to easily see where every visitor clicked on your website. So if you're trying to do some usability studies on your websites, which is important to do, especially if you've made a redesign or some changes, that this will give you a graphical display of where people clicked on in your website. And, you know, it shows the TechCrunch website, and it shows that they clicked heavily around the TechCrunch banner to come back to the main page, and, you know, different places they have clicked on the website. So, you know, Google Analytics is capable of doing some of this as well. And actually, they just give you a report. But this takes it to a whole new level insofar as, you know, being able to determine usability-wise what people are actually using on your website. So, again, it's called Crazy Egg. And it's got a new feature called Confetti. And again, it lets you see where every visitor clicks on your site and what brought them there. Good article on newspapers and how newspapers should embrace online aggregators. And there was something in here that I had seen. Let me see if I can find this section that I wanted to talk about. Gosh, where was it at here? There was a keyword here that clued me in. Oh, this is terrible. I should have highlighted this on the page. Well, there's essentially, this goes into the battle that's been going on right now between newspapers and Google and being able to aggregate their data. And, oh, here's the point I wanted to get over. In podcasting, where my media is, it sets on a single server. But where my show is listed is at multiple points. So by going and looking at the stats, I can see where people are consuming the data from, whether it be from Blueberry, whether it be from Tech Podcast, whether it be from my own site. Sorry, I'm yawning on you. From my own site or another site that I have the show listed on and syndicated. It's all about people listening to the content, right? That's what's important. It's important that people actually listen to this show and find the show. And many of you have found this show from a variety of different places. So in lieu of our contest tonight, what I'd like to hear from all of you is, and this is via email, and we're going to pick one person that sends an email in, and they're going to get a mystery prize that I'm going to give away on the next show on Friday night. But tell me where you heard about the show the first time, and in other words, did someone tell you about it, or did you find it randomly? Essentially, I want you to tell me where you found the show. And I want to prove a point here in that I bet you the response I get back is going to be wide and varied on where people found this show for the very first time. Some are going to say iTunes. Some are going to say Yahoo. Some are going to say Podcast Alley. Some are going to say Blueberry. Some are going to say Podcaster News. I mean, Tech Podcast. Some are going to say Geek News Central. Some are going to say via the book I wrote. You know, it's going to be a wide variety of areas where people found the show. So tonight's giveaway will be based upon, I'm just going to take and I'll put lump all those people together that send in comments to geeknews@gmail.com. And then I'm going to pull one from that, and that'll be the person who'll get the next prize on the next show. But going back to this article, and this is what kind of clued me in, I was kind of trying to think of a way tonight of what I was going to, how I was going to give away something, was that all newspapers should really worry about is where the content is consumed. But the problem they run into is that they are so hung up on trying to figure out how they're going to monetize their print that they don't want their media aggregated everywhere. So they want me to come to NewYorkTimes.com. They want me to come to SanDiegoTribune.com, whatever their specific website is. They want me to read it online with the small chance that I'm going to roll over and click on an ad to one of their vendors. So they just need to forget about that, because what's going to happen is that generally when I'm reading syndicated content, I generally click back to the original article, and it could be that it go back to comment about the specific content, or it would go back to find an email for the actual author. You know, there's a variety of different reasons why I go back to the original source. And if nothing else, it's when I'm writing my blog, I'm trying to source my information from the original source, even though I may have found it on a syndicated site. So I think the point that we're trying to make here is that syndicating this content will drive a significant amount of traffic to these newspapers just by the simple fact of syndicating it. And I think we're going to kind of prove that in tonight's contest giveaway, is that you guys are going to kind of validate where do you find my show at the first time. And, you know, it's basically I'm just going to go down there. I'm going to build a list. I'm going to say, okay, X number of you found it here, X number of you found it there. And we're going to prove this Publishing 2.0 article at Publishing2.com, great domain, by the way, Publishing2.com, on where the, you know, on how this stuff is distributed and how much of an impact it's made. I don't know what's been up with Robin Good lately, but he hasn't been producing a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to new content. And so I've been kind of watching his feed more and more often. And tonight he actually produced a article, one that I was going to write. And this is actually some of the stuff that Chris Perillo had written. And matter of fact, I just wonder almost if he didn't get this stuff from Chris himself, but talks about webcam enhancer and video overlay mixer add-ons to affect your live video feed. Now, those of you that have been coming to mylifeonline.tv will have seen the video feed up. And if I'm not in the office, it's generally pointed outside, and you get to observe the Hawaiian weather. But when the show's going on like it is right now, the live feed is up. People can see me doing the show. I don't even know how many people are watching right now because I'm not watching the feed. But I use a couple of tools here he has. I use CamTwist is a tool that I use with my Mac. And then there's a couple more functions that I add. And I utilize an IRC chat client. But it's pretty awesome what you can do here in actually making a very vibrant video feed with lots of data, with advertising, all kinds of stuff in there. This is a great way, a great starter. And sadly, on the Windows side, unless someone can really point me at a good product, and the only thing it's I found so far has come close to something called Quartz Extreme. That's another Mac product. Webcam Max is the only other web-based application that even comes close to CamTwist, for the Mac. I must say, this CamTwist product is really, really cool on the Mac side. But you all take a look at those. Those of you that do a lot of video stuff, especially with your webcams, read through this article and let me know, are we missing something here? Is there an application that needs to be added to his list? Pretty comprehensive, and it'll have everything that you need to get started doing your own live video cast minus your .tv domain name. Of course, you know where to go get one of those, right? And you'll definitely be able to use that Geek5 code on a .tv domain name. Those are not $6.95. They are much more expensive than, I think they're $20 is what the cost of a .tv domain is. Maybe they're more than that, but you're not going to buy very many anyway, but it's definitely, get it now before they're gone. That's for sure, because there's definitely a land rush going on now on .tv names. All right, over on Mashable.com, there's a great article about all the new stuff that's going on with the Google Labs, and they do a lot of looking under the hood here. And this is a pretty impressive article. Talks about all the new stuff that you can use, a lot of the new things that Google has launched, and different ways you can mash stuff up. So definitely check out this article on what's going on with Google Labs over at Mashable.com. Now, we've been, you know, I was beating up Google pretty hard recently on their privacy policy, but they've launched a new website called Google Public Policy.blogspot.com. It's the official Google Public Policy blog with Google views and government policy and politics. So great articles on here. You'll definitely want to get over here and read this. And it kind of talks about their mindset. And this is from people within Google that are actually in charge of their public policy. So, you know, this is a good place to give feedback to Google where we may not have had an outlet to do so before besides on our website. So those of you that are worried about Google's public privacies and public policy, definitely check out the link to this website. All right, found a cool shuttle shot. And this was taken by a high-altitude aircraft. And from looking at the picture, it looks to me like the shuttle is about probably 30, 40, maybe 40 seconds in flight. And the aircraft probably is not that high. By looking at the, you know, from where the shot's at and the land, you know, the aircraft may be at 35 or 40,000 feet. But this is a great picture and pretty impressive, and it's a vantage point that I have not seen before. I'd love to see. I'm sure that this aircraft probably had some better cameras than this, but this was the picture that was released, and I have a link to that in the show notes. Every once in a while, you'll see a title on a blog post that gets your attention. It said, and this one that drawed me in was the top 10 things that have tried to destroy planet Earth. And I'm not going to say anything about the article, except I'm going to link it up in the show notes. It'll be a fun one for you to just go look at, and I think you'll get as big a kick out of the list as I did. And if nothing else, I'd love to hear what you guys, if you guys think there's something missing from this top 10 list, or if one of these items needs to be bumped. So a little project for you there as well within the show notes. All right, Blockbuster has chosen Blu-ray as its format that it's going to be supporting within its stores and its online DVD rental service. So the question is now, will Netflix follow with Blu-ray? And will the HD DVD folks who, you know, what's going to happen there? You know, this is a big issue. This is the reason why I have not, to this point, even considered buying an HD or Blu-ray, HD DVD or Blu-ray player. I know they got them out there that plays both, but this is like, you know, Betamax and VHS. This is ridiculous. This war is going to continue for a while. Who do you think is going to win? But, you know, I think it's a little too soon to declare Blu-ray as the outright winner. But, you know, what is the HD DVD shipped? Well, they've shipped Pirates of the Caribbean and Spider-Man. No, actually, that's a Blu-ray only, excuse me. Blu-ray was Spider-Man and Pirates of the Caribbean. So what's going to be coming? You know, where's the thunder here, HDVD? Those, you know, that was what was funny at the Consumer Electronics Show. Oh, we'll be able to coexist and work together, and but yet we think this, our, you know, HDVD is going to be the one that's going to prevail, and the, you know, same story in the Blu-ray booth. But this has got to be a big win for the Blu-ray camp. All right, one thing that's been troubling me, and the Japanese are to the rescue, is that the big screen TV that I have has two HDMI inputs. And while I'm not complaining, I've got a great big screen TV. I'm thinking to myself, all right, what's going to happen when I have another HDMI component? How am I going to get that hooked up? Well, there's a new box coming out. It's an HDMI switch, and I guess there's been a couple of these that have been released. I'm going to link up to an article that's on Engadget, and this one's called the Digit Media HDMI Switch, which is just as it sounds. It's a four-channel HDMI switcher, and it comes with a little remote control. It's going to be available initially in Japan this coming July for about $152. But for those of you that have more HDMI components than you do have inputs, good news on that part. Now, there's a link in the, if you read down through a little deeper into the comments of the actual post, a couple of people that have made comments have actually linked to some other products that are out there as well. Now, I'm sure we've got a few listeners in the audience that are big NASCAR fans. Well, you know, not only are we mad at AT&T, but NASCAR is also mad at AT&T, and they're countersuing AT&T right now for $100 million, and they're moving to ban future telecom sponsorships by AT&T. I guess they have rebranded Jeff Burton's Singular Car to AT&T. Now, those of you that don't know, NASCAR has a 10-year sponsorship with Nextel. And the last thing they want is a car going around the track with a AT&T logo on it, with Nextel being the national sponsor of NASCAR. So NASCAR is going to go to battle here. And I guess there's one other car that's running with a different carrier's sponsorship as well, and they're trying to get them all banned by 2008. So, I guess it's Alltel is the other company. So this has failed once before in a court ruling. We'll see what happens as we go on here. But NASCAR is none too happy with Jeff Burton. I don't know if any of you are Jeff Burton fans or not, but we'll see what happens in this case. All right, Engadget is reporting that the Zune Marketplace is to get MTV, VH1, and CMT content. So if you are a Zune user and you're using the Zune Marketplace, you're going to be able to get access now to VH1 on the Zune and CMT and, of course, MTV as well. MTV's been there from the beginning, I believe. I've been watching the space on what's been going on with Safari, and there's been a lot of people making analysis of, what's going to happen here. Of course, the Apple, with their reporting of having 1 million downloads within, I guess, the first 48 hours of Safari onto PCs, there's been a lot of the Windows camp, of course. The Windows fan, you know, the Windows fans are just as strong and aggressive as the Apple fans are. And the Firefox folks, especially those developers, are like, you can see now where the battle lines have been drawn just by the commentary that's going on. One thing that we're going to see about this is definitely Firefox is going to be adding features that are only found in Safari, and I don't know what exactly those features are. And Apple is going to take a lot more criticism from the Windows folks, because, you know, when the browser market is as crazy as it is, there's really no, you know, within the Apple community, the Apple folks are not very critical of Apple. You don't see a lot of criticism out there, but boy, oh boy, stand by, because the Windows folks are just going to rip Apple to shreds on Safari. If, you know, down from the buggy beta to the, you know, the UI, you know, they're already going after Apple now for the look and feel of Safari. They're saying it feels like a Mac. It doesn't feel like a Windows application. So this could be very, This could be a very interesting battle. And I think it's good that Firefox is being challenged a little bit here in that they're going to have to step up the plate and add some more features. And while I have not yet downloaded it onto my PC, I've seen no need to. I guess I probably should. I just don't like it. I don't even like using it on the Mac, to be honest with you. I mean, I've said that before, so you guys already know that. All right, here's something that's it's just funny. It really, really is. 50 years ago, some folks decided that in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that they were going to bury a 1957 Plymouth Belvedere. It was brand new. They were able to get a bomb shelter that was designed as a concrete vault that was designed to withstand a nuclear attack. So they got this car and they put some other stuff in it and they wrapped this car in anti-corrosion stuff and they did all kinds of stuff to have it in a protective wrapping. Well, at Friday's ceremony, the protective wrapping was removed to show a mud-caked vintage car covered in rust. And what essentially had happened was that this concrete vault that was designed to withstand a nuclear attack couldn't keep the water out. So the car would not start, and it was basically pretty good comic relief for everyone. But it's kind of sad, though, really, because there was a lot of, a lot of anticipation of what was going on. And you know, it was, who knows? But there's some person in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or their heirs, is going to be getting the car. Because that was a purpose, was they were going to dig it up in 2007. And whoever, there was a certain process that was used, and they were going to draw a name or something to determine who was actually going to win the car. But they're going to get a hunk of junk. By the way, the tires did inflate. That's an amazing thing. After 50 years, that they were able to put air in the tires. So that's about the only thing that really survived on the car. The windshield's there and everything else. But wait till you guys see this picture. It's worth it. We had talked about this in an earlier show that this was forthcoming. And I just want to send you over there to take a look at it. All right, 100 of the best legal free version games you can download online, available at PC Gaming Blog over at downloadfullversionpcgames.com. But anyway, it's a link to classics like D-Day, Normandy, Frets on Fire, some of these I've never heard of, Lunia I've heard of, Parsec 47. In other words, these are all great games you can download available online and essentially available. You don't have to worry about copyright infringement. Okay, there's a good article over on Mac Talk. It talks about, do you need to defrag your Mac hard drive? And this is a question I've been asked for a long, long time. Do systems need to actually be defragged? And you can defrag the actual hard drive on a Mac. And I guess it took a long, long time on the machine that was done. But what was interesting here is that there was some variances in times of loading times that were kind of interesting. Pre-defrag for a cold boot was 25.64 seconds. Post-defrag was 39.21. Loading Safari, pre-defrag loading Safari was 2.97 seconds. Post-defrag was 2.7 seconds, so it did go faster. iPhoto 7.41, down by a second and a half after defrag. Just a different variety of tests were done, but here is very, very little. I mean, 1 or 2 seconds difference on normal stuff, but the big difference was in the actual code boot, on the time that it actually took the system to load. So have this available via the show notes. And I think the initial reasoning is here that you don't have to do it. But if you're looking for the application, it's called iDefrag. it gets available online. All right, how many of you have got a Pixel or two that's messed up on an LCD display? Well, I'm going to have an LCD display fixer that you'll be able to download and check out on your machines. And it actually provides, it's a program that can fix dead pixels on your LCD screen. And a pretty cool little application. Those of you that do a lot of taking of photographs, there's a great tutorial that I found here that is the 10 most common photographic mistakes. So if you want to essentially learn how to not make the most common mistakes, definitely want to read this article. It's available that'll have. Okay, there's an announcement today, or actually a change in some stuff that was on the Apple website. On the Apple Leonard Bootcamp page last week, there was support for faster switching between Windows and OS X. And they're saying that essentially you could switch between them like just essentially that quick. That has been removed from the Leopard website, and there's some questions on kind of why. They don't know if there is been some pressure by Microsoft or whatever, but there has been a change. I don't know if you guys can, if you all can tell tonight, but my butt's dragging. It really is. I'm sure all of you are aware of this, and for those of you that aren't, did you know that your keyboard can have more germs on it than a toilet seat can? And if you didn't know that, that is the truth. It's been proven that there can be all kinds of nasty stuff, E. coli, all kinds of just, ugh, all kinds of stuff in a keyboard. Well, NPR did a study where they actually took some keyboards, and believe it or not, they stuck them in a dishwasher, and they ran them through a dishwasher cycle. Now, while this at first instance seems to be kind of insane, I'm sure some of you have some pretty nasty keyboards. Especially if those that smoke probably have even worse keyboards. And you may have a keyboard that you actually love, and you don't want to give it up. And you thought, what can I do to save this keyboard? How can I get it clean without taking all the, you know, pulling off the keys off it and getting in with a little Q-tip or whatever? Well, they ran it through some keyboards, ran them through a dishwasher. They didn't allow the heat cycle to go on. And once they did, and they didn't use very much soap, they used just a little soap and did a normal wash. And they let them, pulled them out before the rinse cycle. They let them drip dry. They blew air across them with, to get excess water out of them. And they just let them wait. And they let them wait for a while. Let me see how, I think 2 or 3 days they let them dry out. And, but lo and behold, after they had dried sufficiently, they work just fine. So if you've got a keyboard that is just about kaput and you really love the keyboard and you want to save it and you want to, you know, get it cleaned up and maybe, you know, get some more life out of it, you might consider running it through a dishwasher. Now, I would absolutely unequivocally have an extra keyboard ready because, and I'm not going to guarantee you that once you run your keyboard through your dishwasher and let it dry sufficiently, that when you go to plug it in, it doesn't blow something up on your PC. All right, fair warning here, okay? It might be worth a shot. It definitely might. All right, got a great link up on WordPressThemesFree.com, and this is a great list of different WordPress themes. And this is the first time I've seen this site, and it's really awesome. It really, really is. It's got all just literally hundreds of different WordPress themes that you can download. Over on Mashable.com, I found an article that talks about 33 ways to watch free TV online, and I didn't realize that there was this many sites. And I'm just going to kind of YouTube, Juiced, Babelgum, Zatto, Veo, NGTV. I like Veo. I like their service. Episode Network, Daily Motion, Google Video, Blink X, Channel Chooser, FreeTube, Televee, Gubba. I mean, just goes on and on and on. All these different sites that have free TV available. So I'll have this up and, you know, let me know. Do you use any of these? Which one do you like the most? Which one has the best channel selection? What are you using any of these online video TV resources? All right, I think I'm just about done with articles here. I'm going to have some more stuff for you that is going to be kind of like mystery links that I'll have available. And one thing I do want to report on, though, is Dell reported that, and they reported to the Consumerist. You know, Dell had asked the Consumerist to take down a post that was essentially a series of confessions by Dell employees. But Dell sent a letter out to the consumers saying that they were wrong. And they basically, you know, have made up, kissed and made up. This is a good move on Dell's part. Maybe they finally figured out the lawyers aren't so smart after all when it comes to some of these types of decisions. And it's good that they have left well enough alone. But they got some serious traffic out of this. In that this article was dug up as well as the other ones. So if you want to find out a way to save money in a Dell, you'll definitely want to check out the link that we had available in the previous show notes and the ones tonight as well. All right, I've also got some links on the iPhone. You know, there's just been so much stuff that's been talked about on the iPhone. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot more. The latest one that I've got here is from Kurmi, C-U-R-M-I.com. And this is a pretty good one, actually, that goes into some of the feature sets within it. And then I have some other articles about battery life. So there's a whole bunch of stuff here that is going to be at the end of the show that you'll definitely want to check out. That'll be available in the show notes. And if you're interested in the iPhone, definitely want to look at what's being produced on that. But remember, that's going to be an ATT product. All right, let's go ahead and get into show notes. I'm kind of bouncing off the walls here a little bit. voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, definitely send in your comments so that you can be in the running to win a cool prize on the next show. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's a secret. But send in your comments. Here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd. This is Russ from PA. Boy, I'll tell you, I am fired up about AT&T and what they're doing. I wish I had an AT&T account so I could leave them. I'll tell you what. And, you know, Apple, the iPhone that's coming out, aren't they with Singular and AT&T?
Yep.
I'll tell you what, there's going to be some backlash from this. I'm writing everybody I can. Thanks, Todd. Love the show. Bye.
Hey, thanks, and make sure you tell everybody. Spread the word. Spread the word on these AT&T spy mongers. Okay, here's the next show comment.
Good day, Todd. Mike from Mike Thinks. Just wanted
to
respond to some comments you made on show number 276 about AT&T and how you had actually canceled your service. You know, I think these big companies think that everyone's oblivious, and I don't know, maybe the rest of the world is. I know they just put Fios cable in my neighborhood, and I've been looking forward to it for a long time, but there have been so many stories lately about Verizon and some of the just weird things that they're doing and the way they try to just pretend that, you know, the customer service issues aren't really their fault, that it gave me pause, and I haven't installed it yet. It's been out there for 2 months, so that's at least 2 months of service they've lost, and, you know, I just might not go with them because of that. I really think these companies need to get a clue, and we as the consumers have to be out there saying, if you're going to do stuff that basically hoses us over, you know, no thank you, just like you did, and thank you very much for taking that stand and, you know, putting up with your wife not being able to call Japan for a couple hours. And, of course, as always, love the show.
Wow, I didn't know that AT&T was doing Fios service. I thought that was Verizon that had that available. Are you sure that's an AT&T product and not a Verizon product? Boy, I tell you, that would be tough. You know, that would really, really be tough to have Fios in my neighborhood. You know, bandwidth here is such a commodity. I mean, it's If I could get Fios, I'd pay for it. But, boy, after this latest thing. Of course, I don't do any peer-to-peer stuff. I'd have nothing to worry about. But, you know, it's just the simple, you know, it's just like, you know, canceling my service with them. You know, it was the only thing I could do. I had to vote with my wallet. And I guess, you know, having to give up Fios, you know, considering what they have done here and what the, you know, but what's going to happen when all ISPs start spying on us? Where's the state, you know, where's the haven going to be for, there is not going to be, you know, it's going to be, you know, Big Brother's going to be looking over our shoulders at all times at everything we do. That's scary. That's scary. When, where does it stop? All right, we're looking for peer-to-peer. Oh, now let's look and see if he goes to porn sites. Or, oh, wait a minute. Does he order cigars online? Let's report him to his insurance agency. Oh, he's looking for a lawyer? Maybe we ought to send his wife an email with a alternate lawyer. You know, where do they stop? That is the question. You know, you think I'm crazy? It could happen, folks. It really, really could. It really, really could. Here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. My name is Rita.
Hey, Rita.
From New York. I've been listening to you for quite a while.
Great.
And I was just listening to your rant about AT&T. And, oh, I agree with you 100%. And actually, I was going to go to get the iPhone. Excuse me. And then after, I found out that their network is kind of slow. And then what kind of took
slow.
Put the icing on the cake was when I found about this, that they were gonna spy on their customers, and that's wrong. That really is. I mean people need to say something, and I'm gonna make sure that every person that I know is going to get the iPhone, which is quite a few. I'm gonna make sure I tell them all of this that's going on, and see if they still want. If they still want, at least I did my job of trying to get customers away from AT&T. Anyway, love your show, and keep up the good work, and talk to you.
Hey, thanks so much for calling, and yes, spread the word, and thanks for taking a stand. I really appreciate it, and tell your friends about the show as well. Tell them, hey, listen to this guy. He'll keep you abreast on what's going on. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, what we have to do is we need to teach these companies. You know, if we could just get enough people behind us, if we could just get, you know, if we could get 25,000, 35,000, 50,000 people to write AT&T and say, you know, I used to be your customer, but I'm no longer your customer because you did this. That's powerful. That's absolutely powerful. It really, really is. And, you know, they may say, oh, well, that was just that many. But, you know, if we could get, think of the groundswell we could have. You know, you're going to tell 10 people. I'm going to tell 10 people. You know, how many does that equal to in this audience size? All right, let's go on to the last voicemail.
Hi, Todd. It's John Meadows calling from Toronto.
Hey, John.
I'm calling in regard to a comment you made on your last show about people giving you a bit of a hard time. We're talking about the RIAA too much. My friend, you don't talk about it enough. None of us talk about it enough. This is such a huge issue. It's more than just money. It's free speech and the right for people to own their own culture that's at stake here. So I hope you keep going on about it as much as possible. Thanks. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Hey, don't worry. I'm definitely going to be talking about it. And please don't get me wrong. It wasn't, it was just some comments and some email. And it was all done. You know, I asked people to send their positives and their negatives. And it was definitely appreciated. It was a theme that I saw a couple different times in some emails. I just wanted to mention it. But we're going to continue to prevail here in talking about MPAA and RIAA and what they're doing. And keep track of them for you as much as I can. If you find something, definitely send me a link. Appreciate it. But, you know, what's going on out there in Toronto? You know, Canada's got its own set of issues. And while you don't have necessarily the RIAA up there, you do have your own copyright police, I guess that's what I want to call them, and there's been some issues up there as well. So if you got some stuff that's going up in Canada, send me that. Same people, same thing for those of you that are in England, and wherever you're else in Europe. You know, if you have any other issues that are you're finding in your country, definitely send me the link to it. We'll talk about it in the show, and we'll keep everyone informed what's going on across the board. All right, lots of great email comments. Got an email from Christiane. He says, "Hey, Todd, use Jaja. That saved my boss plenty on calls from Sweden to Montenegro." So, you know what? Hey, thanks, Christiane, for that. And, you know, I had forgotten what Jaja actually did. And so we're going to be trying it here. And I got to get my wife over the little bit over the curve of, you know, I said, "Honey, we can save a lot of money on long distance if you use this." But she doesn't she wants to pick up the phone and dial. She doesn't want to go to the computer and do that thing that she has to do to make that work. But I'm putting in speed dial put it in as a hot link on her website or on her browser, and she just click on it. And any way to save money is good. So we'll be checking out jaja.com. Put the link up in the show notes. I got an email from Michael. He said, "Hey, Todd." He says, a Mary Kay dealer from Mississippi is the new article in the DMOZ for the area you used to edit. Well, at least it's an American that is now editing the Navy section of the DMOZ. And I didn't go over there, Michael. I just couldn't help myself. I have refused to visit that website or give it another ounce of traffic. I'll trust your instincts on this. But thanks for that feedback. Appreciate it. Got an email from JC. Let's see here. He says, "Hey, new to the show, got an N95 here in the UK and is a podcast director that was one of the best, and this was one of the best shows I found. So going to auto downloads to my mobile, just doing a CIW over here." What's CIW over here? What is CIW? "Accepting the fact that I'm doing it to be a geek soon, so I need to be aware of the internet and things. Love the way you praise GoDaddy. I have my websites over on Soup Names. Don't know where to keep all mine because I'll only ever use Soup Names. Need to buy a server with PHP SQL on my portfolio site. Keep on casting." Hey, James, thanks for that. Appreciate it. What is CIW? What's that? Just doing CIW over here. Oh, I don't understand that part of the email. But I'm glad you found this on the Nokia N95. And what made that possible was when we were at the Consumer Electronics Show, we went into the Nokia tent, and the guy that was in charge of their podcasting section was in there, and we were talking about it. He says, "Yeah, we've got OPML." And I said, our directory's made up of OPML list. I said, "Well, we've got OPML at Tech Podcast and at Blueberry. Can I?" And he added us right then. He added us to their directory. It took 2 seconds. And so I'm glad you found us on your N95 over there in the UK. And any of you that's got a Nokia N95, go to the podcast directory, and we're listed in there. All the shows at Blueberry, Podcaster News, and so forth. Okay, I got an email from Susabel. She says, "Hey, I wish I could use my pocketbook to tell AT&T how unhappy I am, but I live in St. Louis, the home of AT&T, and there's no getting around it. There are only one phone service available to us, and they are the only DSL provider for us. Oh, and AT&T bought Singular, our cell provider, so now we're stuck with them for that part of it also. We could go to cable, but that's Charter Communications here with our state Better Business Bureau's issued a warning against, and I'll never do business with." She says, "We have a DirecTV with our satellite service, but their internet plan is extremely pricey." Yes, it is. "And they don't offer the bandwidth I need to run our robust home network of 7 computers. I'm truly stuck on 18 business class DSL, which I pay very little for, and their local phone service and their cell service on 4 family plan phones. We have no other choice. It's going to be hard to fight back against the hyenas of the monopoly." Go ahead, smack me, Isabel. I mean, Susabel. "Anyway, fight back against the monopoly that is AT&T. Many of us have absolutely no choice but to stay with them. Are they the only long distance carrier in town? Or there, that's it? That's what you've got? You've got AT&T? That's sad. I thought we were locked in here. You have less choices than we do. That's for sure. There's always Vonage. There's always Vonage. Okay, got an email from Scott. Hey, Todd, I haven't heard you discuss this technology in any of your recent podcasts. It's quite possibly old news to you. But if not, check this out. I think you might get a kick out of it. And he's got a clip to a imaging technology. Yep, actually have seen some of these. I'm going to link those up in the show notes again tonight. And here was this. Oh, let's play this thing by Kevin. Let me go ahead and launch this real quick. Oh, we're already way late. Kevin, I'll play your audio clip on the next show, I promise. And I apologize for not having listened to it. We'll get some soapbox material and we'll get up on there. Last thing from Rob was, hey, Todd, in the only way to solve all these corporate crimes is to elect progressive and liberal. Hey, Todd, the only way to solve all these corporate crimes is to elect progressive and liberal Democrats who will bring back proper regulation of corporations. Republicans and conservative Democrats believe in treating companies like gods who shouldn't be criticized. Witness aggressive oversight that Representative Henry Waxman and Senator Patrick Leahy brought back to Congress after six long years of criminal Republican leadership. A bigger dose of that will finally force the corporations back into line. Thanks, Rob. Well, Rob, while I won't get into political discussions here, and I hope everyone is political in nature, that they go out and support the candidates they choose, I think what it's going to take each of us writing to those candidates that we support and being very, very poignant in our point of view so that they know what we're thinking and what the people at large within our districts are, you know, what their opinions are. You know, we have to be vocal with, it doesn't matter if they're Republican, Democrat, if they're independent, we just need to let them know. Okay, now it doesn't always do everything good. They don't always listen. Well, they don't. Generally, none of them ever listen. But I think the most important thing is that we're vocal about it. And then when it comes to election time, if the person that is has been elected in your district or is your senator and you don't believe that person has done the job that needs to be done, then that gives you some issues to go and talk to a possible replacement. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing about this country is that we have the opportunity to go out and elect people that we think or vote for people that we think are going to best serve our individual viewpoints. And I know it's a strong opinions on both sides of the fence. I definitely don't want to get into a political discussion here. I definitely want people to know, though, that where my point of view is just get involved. And that will be worth a great, great deal. Got an email from Adrian, and this will be the last one of the night. It's an article he linked up to talking about the iPhone battery life. That actually be in the show notes. Hey, everyone. I'm sorry. We're long here. I know some of you don't want me to apologize for saying we're long, but we are. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. You all take care. Have a great week. We'll see you on Friday. Aloha.